Amen. Thank you so much. And good morning to everybody. It's a treat to get to be here with you and to share a few moments with you. I was excited to find a church on Saturday morning. I mean, this is just unheard of. So many people come out on Saturday morning, and even in the midst of the sports season and everything that's going on. So I honor you for honoring the Lord to come and seek Him in a special way today. And I'm going to tell you what, I was so blessed by the worship that, I mean, I could just go home now and I'd have had all I need, right? I mean, can we just thank God for these worshipers that give their life to do this all the time? It was fantastic. And don't you love it? I know probably like in our church, we kind of plan the song list of kind of the songs we want, and then, of course, allow the Holy Spirit to do things. But I love it when the Holy Spirit speaks through the songs. And, you know, when I heard that line, that we're singing to sons and daughters, which is so something that's on my heart right now. And it so spoke to me about the sons and daughters in the earth. I love it when that works out, when the music speaks to what you're sharing. Not like a story I heard where a pastor got up and he was pretty adamant on alcohol that day and really went after it. And he said, I wish I had all the whiskey in the town, I'd take it and throw it in the river. And I wish I had all the wine in this town, I'd take it and throw it in the river. And I wish I had all the beer in this town, I'd take it and throw it in the river. He said, song leader, please come and worship. And he timidly got up and said, my selection is hymn 264, Shall We Gather at the River? So, I'm glad it went the other way for us this morning. Amen? I'm going to invite Beverly to say hello just for a moment. Is it okay for her to say hello from down here?
Good morning, everyone. We're so delighted to be here. And I just want to kind of jump off from what the pastor said about just inviting everybody. I mean, this is amazing. And you can feel the presence of God and the anointing of God to heal, to save, and deliver. And I just thought this was so beautiful. The call has gone out. Did you hear it? Can you hear it? It will stir your heart to the depths and create desire that cannot be denied. It is the call to seek my face, to access new spiritual heights, to establish yourself in new spiritual territory. Only those who have ears to hear by the Spirit will heed this call, says the Lord. Listen, Matthew 13:43. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let he who has ear, let him hear. And so I send that clarion call from here in the Spirit, and it goes to the east, the west, the north, and the south. And now that multiplication will begin, and God is going to increase not only this place, but gifts. The gifts are coming your way. The treasures of heaven are being opened, and He's bringing them to you. And I thank God for you. I thank you for the work that you're doing right here in this territory. And we are so honored to be a part. And I'm right torn up after worship, I have to tell you. It was beautiful. So, y'all, thank you so much. Please just keep on going. Keep doing this for Jesus. Keep moving this territory forward. And all of y'all, as you're out in this territory, just know you have ears to hear, and God is speaking in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hello, James Nesbitt, and hello to the Shells. So glad to see you guys this morning. And blessings to you. And thank you, Florence, for sending Joshua and Jamie Scroggins to Coldwater for a while. They have been such an amazing blessing. We could have never accomplished what we've done in Alabama without them. And so thank you for sending one of your own down our way for this season. They are directors of All in Alabama, and we really appreciate all the work that they're doing. By the way, it was interesting to be here today in our journey. We were with Pastor Benny Hinn at the beginning of, 1 week ago, almost today, at a great church down on the very south in Daphne with John Kilpatrick. And so then, yesterday, we drove all the way from there up here to a great church in Florence, tip to tip. And it's just exciting to me to think you got a great work going on the very down the Gulf, the very south. You got a great work going right here at the very top of the state. So we're saying from the north to the south to the east and the west, Alabama is fulfilling their purpose and destiny in the kingdom of God. Amen. And I just thought it was interesting, those two connect dots. And then, of course, as traveling up yesterday, I was on the phone with a friend of this house, Paul Keith Davis. and of course from Alabama, down South Alabama as well. And so anyway, just interested in all the connection and all the ties that are happening. I want to get right into our subject matter today. For the whole weekend, I'll be talking about two main keys, freedom and transformation. That's kind of the message, the apostolic message that the Lord has put on our hearts these days. But the ultimate is the raising up of sons and daughters of God. You know, the greatest office in the church is not an apostle. The greatest office in the earth is a son and daughter of God. And God is raising up sons. The job of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists are to raise up sons and daughters of God. That's where we're living at. And this is important. Touch your neighbor, say, I'm about to tell you what time it is. Tell them, I'm about to tell you what time it is. The whole earth is groaning. That's what's happening. This is COVID. This is the war in Israel. And people say, are we in the end times? Yes and no. I like to say we're in the beginning of the end. Not the end like it's going to wrap up tomorrow. I don't believe that. But I definitely believe we are in the beginning of the end, in that place of birth pains, that God is about to, the kingdom of God and the power of God is about to cover the earth, the glory of God, like the waters cover the sea. Then the end will come. But we're definitely in the end of the beginning, or the beginning of the end, when you see, because these, think about it, used to these different birth pains would be decades apart. But now it's gone from, you know, decades to years to months to weeks to daily. You can turn on the news and there is another birth pain testifying that the whole earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. And so this is kind of the subject matter that we are carrying right now, is to help encourage you in what that means to be sons and daughters of God. And by the way, the spirit of adoption is very important. We just came out of the season of tabernacles, which is the feast of adoption. But most of us don't even understand the spirit of adoption. We think we're adopted into God's family. That's not true. You have the very seed of God in you. The very seed of God abides in you, according to the Scriptures. So you're not adopted into the kingdom of God. You carry the seed of your heavenly Father. So what is adoption about? Adoption in the Bible is not like we know adoption in our culture. Adoption in the Bible was when a son or daughter had reached the level of maturity, that no longer were they a child, but now they became adopted, or they took on the responsibility of the Father's business. That's why it says in Galatians 4, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, born of woman. You know that Scripture. And it says, even though you're an heir, as long as you're immature, you differ nothing than a slave. But as soon as you recognize and realize who you are as a son and daughter of God, this spirit of adoption comes upon us. Then what happens is that we begin to manifest the same nature and character of our Father in heaven here on the earth. And so this is where we are. We're no longer to remain an immature people. We're no longer to remain, Beverly and I, we're eat up with children right now. We got a brand new grandbaby that's 7 weeks old. We got a great grandbaby be here in 2 weeks. We're eat up with kids right now, and we love every minute of it, right? And they're cute when they're little and they do silly things. But if they're still doing that at 18, it ain't cute, right? And so there's a maturation process that I believe God's had us in getting us ready. And you say, well, Kent, what is the main attribute of a child of God, of a son of God, a mature, a weos, the Greek, weos, son of God, a mature child of God? What does that look like? It's very simple. Romans 8:14, it says, those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And so that's a simple definition of what it means to be a mature son and daughter of God. We are being led by the Spirit of God. And so along this subject matter, our recent book we've written, we've got some great resources available for you. We wrote a book called Led by the Spirit, What Benny Hinn Taught Me About Empowered Living. And if there's a man on the earth that knows the Holy Spirit, it's Pastor Benny Hinn. And we're honored to have served with him for 10 years. And I'll tell you some of that story in a little bit. But the book is powerful. And it talks about 8 of the key revelations that I personally got imparted to me from him about being led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to try to impart to you today, is kind of along these lines of what that means to be led by the Spirit. The first point I want to make is being led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit always gives us access to the supernatural. So when you start being led by the Spirit, you're automatically going to be in the supernatural realm. This is 1 Corinthians 2:9-10 says, but it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, mind cannot comprehend or in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them by the Spirit. In other words, you can't get a hold of the things of God through your mind. You can't get a hold of the things of God through intellect. You only get a hold of the things of God through the Spirit of God. And so our whole journey was supernatural. This is how we began to express the kingdom of God, or how we stepped into this being led by the Spirit. And it didn't start when we got saved. It actually started before we got saved. Did you know you're here today saved, and you didn't get the Holy Spirit when you got saved? You got saved because you already had the Holy Spirit? In other words, he was after you before you were after him. I'll bring that point home later, hopefully in the talk. But that's what happened to us. Beverly, my wife, was driving down a road in North Carolina with 2 kilos of cocaine in the trunk. And she's driving straight as an arrow, and all of a sudden saw the sky open up in a drive-in theater, and she saw somebody with a microphone and herself preaching the gospel to thousands of people. She said, God, you've got the wrong girl. And she said she heard God chuckle, like, we'll see about that. 2 years later, we supernaturally meet in North Carolina. I was there working, and we just met supernaturally. And next thing you know, after about a year, I talked her into going out with me, and we were sitting there having a bite to eat, and all of a sudden she looks at me and she says, you're going to be a preacher. I thought, you're gorgeous, but you're the craziest chick I've ever seen, because I'm not going to be a preacher. I said, why would you say that? And she told me the story of how she was driving down the road, saw a man with her and microphones preaching the gospel to thousands of people, and she said, you're the man. Now, I don't know about you, but I love the Holy Spirit that'll show up right in the middle of drinking, smoking some weed, eating dinner. You know what I'm talking about? He ain't afraid to get in your mess and find you. I'm just telling you right now. And he stepped right into our lives. My life fell apart financially, emotionally, physically. Wound up in the hospital, overdosed 3 times right after that. And wound up in the hospital. The doctor said, you're drugged out, stressed out, and if you don't change, you're going to die. Well, being brought up in a good Pentecostal church, you know, they'd preach hell so hot that you could feel it sitting in the service, right? I thought, well, I better get back to church. So I went back to church, and that's where I got saved, in a church service. Bev was in the front seat of her Bonneville about to smoke a joint, reached to get it, and the Lord said, quit digging around in that. Come unto me, my child. And waves of love filled her, and she got filled in the front seat of her Bonneville with the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural. And so we wind up, I'm broke. My dad, we had a midlife crisis. He was broke. He had one piece of property left in Kissimmee, Florida, which is about 3.5 miles from the gates of Disney World. He said, well, won't you just move down there with us? We look like the Beverly Hillbillies moving out of Alabama to Florida. I promise you, we was broke, all loaded up to pick up. It was just like picture. And we get to Orlando, Florida. I know one person in the whole of Orlando. I've gone to help my dad. I know one person who I used to smoke a lot of weed with, and I called him up just because he was a good friend of mine. I said, hey, I'm in Orlando. I hear you working here now. He goes, yeah, man, let's get together, you know, and party. And I was like, I really don't do that anymore. I've been born again. He said, you got to be kidding. My wife got born again. And she goes to this radical church, this guy named Benny Hinn. Have you ever heard of him? I said, no, I don't know Ben. I've never heard of Benny Hinn. He goes, it's a wild church. He said, it trips me out. He said, why don't you go to church with us tomorrow? And I said, well, okay. And he said, look, you can't get in the place. It's packed. He said, but all the ushers wear burgundy blazers. And he said, my real estate blazer that a company over for looks like the ushers. He said, I'll wear a blazer, act like an usher, and get us really good seats. Sure enough, next morning he picked us up, looked like Cheech and Chong rolling up. You know, he was tore up from the floor up and picked us up, took us to Benny Hinn's church, act like an usher for God, set us on the fourth row, just moved people around like he knew what he was doing, set all four of us down, and I'm sitting there going, what in the world is happening? And then Benny walks out, and he's just over the top, right? I had never seen anything like that in my life, but I couldn't deny the presence of God. And so my wife and I were just so captured by the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, so we just started attending church. So isn't it amazing that God could take a dope-smoking friend of yours to take you to your destiny? Hey, if he can speak through Balaam's ass, he can speak through a drug addict or anybody else he wants to speak through. Do you know that? Touch your neighbor and say, he's supernatural. Tell him he's supernatural. He's not bound by natural things. He's not bound by natural education or natural who you were born, what family, what side of the track. He's not born to natural things. He's supernatural. So we started attending church there and, you know, just loved it. And Bev and I were sitting in the back, a couple thousand people there on a Sunday night service. And I said it out loud, Lord, I think you've got something for me to do. I just don't know what it is. And the next thing you know, Benny stops the whole service, points Beverly and I out, calls us forward, and prophesies to us. It says, the trials of the past have come to an end, and the glory of tomorrow will be revealed to you in clarity. For I'll place you in a place of ministry where wounded lambs will come your way, and you will deliver them from the oppressor, but not just deliver them, you'll strengthen them and you'll see them grow. Be strong, says God. Be strong, be strong. For I'll place you in a place of ministry, and nothing will stop me from accomplishing my plans for your life. I look over, Bev's out. You know, she's a good Baptist girl. Now she's out, gone. And I was like, Lord, what happened to her? So they've kind of got her off the floor. I'm crying. They just kind of get us composed, sit us on the front row. And Benny goes on about his business. 10 minutes later, he stops. He says, I don't know how, but you're going to be in the ministry with me. I'm like, his cat don't know who I am or, you know, where I'm. I mean, I just got saved, right? I haven't even read the Bible yet. You know, and he's saying, I'm going to be in the ministry with him. And it's like, you know, your mind just is blown. And so I went back and the occupation I was in, Beverly and I continued to raise our family. We just started volunteering, working around the church, whatever they let us do, attending church, you know. And about 18 months later, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was preaching. And I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, see Benny. And I said, well, that's not as easy, Lord, as you would think. And and so anyway, I'd met with Benny one time that whole 18 months and kind of told him our story. And so on Wednesday night, they had this gathering for those that had been volunteering at the church. And Bev and I went to the gathering. Benny walks over to me. He says, I know this sounds strange. He said, but two nights ago, which is the same night I had that dream, God spoke to my wife and then to me that you and Beverly are to be pastors here. I said, Pastor Benny, I appreciate that, and I think that's an awesome honor. I said, but, you know, I don't have any education, I have no training. You know, I hadn't read the Bible like yet. I'm trying, but, you know, I'm stuck in Chronicles. You know, I can't get through that beget. And, you know, and he's like, he said, well, I'll tell you what, come to church Sunday night. We'll see what God says. So for some reason, Bev stayed home with the kids. I go to church, and Benny gets to going. He stops. He says, Kent Maddox, come up here. Call me on the platform. He said, this is one of our new pastors. Stretch your hands toward him. Blessed me, prayed for me, ordained me, commissioned me as a pastor. I went home and told Bev, I said, I'm a pastor. She goes, what the world? You're a pastor? She said, what does that mean? I said, I'm not sure. She said, are they going to pay you? I said, I didn't think to ask. And so the next day I show up at the pastor's meeting, right, where there were real pastors, right? Like they'd been trained, educated. Most of them pastored their own church. And they're sitting around the table at the pastor's meeting that I'm now a part of. You know, it's like mistaken identity. I felt like an imposter. Yeah, I felt like an imposter. Like I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, have mercy. And so then Benny says, we're reforming everything here at the church right now. I need to know, what's your burden? And one guy's like, China and senior citizens, children. And I'm thinking, dang, I ain't got no burden. Like I didn't know this was part of it. You know, like you got to get a burden. I was like, oh, God, I got to get a burden. You know, and I'm just not burdened about anything but myself at the point. You know? And so I'm thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? Because I got to get a burden because it's coming around the table. You know, and it's my burden time, and I've got to get a burden to communicate. And I said, oh, God, what am I going to do? So, I, you know, my old man raised up and said, well, I'll just lie, right? I'll make up something like Zimbabwe. I don't know, you know, whatever. Then I thought, that's not a good thing to do, to lie, right, the first day as a pastor. So I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I'm scared to death. He gets around to me. Benny goes, Kent, what's your burden? I said, I don't have any. I've cast all mine on the Lord. He said, brother, me and you are going to be really good friends, me and you are. And God instantly knit our hearts in that moment. And Beverly and I served there for 10 years, helped him start his television crusade ministry, traveled in 60 different nations, 250 days a year. And it was one of the most radical times of my life. But he introduced me to the concept that anything connected to the Holy Spirit is supernatural. It bypasses all natural thought, all natural things, all natural ways of doing things. It is not by might. It is not by power. But it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. And this is what we want to stir up in sons and daughters of God, is this supernatural lifestyle based in the power of the Holy Spirit. The second point I want to make to you about being led by the Spirit is the Holy Spirit gives you boldness. The Holy Spirit gives you boldness. Acts 4:31 says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. I'll never forget this as long as I live when Benny taught me this powerful, powerful lesson. We were in a prayer line and he was praying for people and he would snap his fingers and say, the power of the Holy Ghost goes through you. The power of the Holy Ghost goes through you. And as soon as he would do that, bam, bam, falling out of the power, getting healed, getting delivered. And I was tracking with him there, walking beside him, and he stopped. He said, I want to teach you something. I said, all right. He said, watch this. I said, okay. Next person, he says, Holy Spirit, please touch him. Nothing happened. He said, the power of the Holy Ghost goes through you. Bam! The power of God hit him. He looked at me and he said, always know this. The Holy Spirit is never released through timidity. Only boldness. And it radically changed the way I ministered and the way I saw things, because fear is the number one enemy of the gift. Paul told Timothy, God has not given you the spirit of timidity or fear. Therefore, stir up the gift of God which was within you, because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. As a son and daughter of God, you should walk the earth in boldness. Not afraid of men. Not afraid of the opinions of men. Not afraid of the devil. Not living in any of these fears that the enemy tries to put on us, because fear is what stops the moving of the Holy Spirit. I loved it when I'd never seen what you just did earlier when you said, let people praise God. I was like, I'm going to be doing that somewhere. I'm going to tell you that right now. And just people just boldly stood up and started quoting scripture and praising God. You're like, yes. You know, that is what that feels like. That's what you sense when they begin to speak. They're speaking out of a place of boldness. But it's not just for this room. It's the supernatural that we're supposed to live out here in the area of boldness. And so Bev and I are in Chicago, and now we've learned this, and we're trying to walk in it years ago, and we're at a conference type thing, and we wind up at a restaurant that's so crowded. You know how it works when you go in. They won't let you sit because they don't have seats. So they'll put you in the bar. And so we go into a bar, and it's so crowded that I can't sit with Beverly and friends. And so we get separated, and I sit by a guy in a bar, and I'm sitting there with him and by him, and he looks over me, you know, and he's having a drink, and he says, what do you do? And I said, I'm a preacher. And I can't tell you exactly what he said in this environment, but he said this in four more letters. And I was like, oh, okay. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God came all over me. I said, Lord, what are you doing here? And the Lord's like, I came with you. I said, what do you need me to do? He said, tell him his mother's going to be all right. Total stranger in a bar. I looked at him. I said, hey, the Lord spoke to me about you. And he used the same four letters again toward me. And he said, what did he say? I said, he said, your mother's going to be okay. He burst into tears. The power of God came all over him. He said, how did you know that? I said, I told you, the Lord just spoke to me. He said, I'm sitting here. This is my best friend. I've been sitting here for 2 hours drinking because I just found out my mom has cancer. And the Lord fired an arrow of deliverance from that bar to his mother, and this peace and the power of God came all over him because we were willing to step out in boldness and not allow fear and intimidation to keep us from being the light that we're supposed to be out in this dark world. So touch your neighbor, tell him, I'm about to start walking in some boldness. Tell him I'm starting walking in some boldness. Number three, the Holy Spirit is all about impartation. This is what a lot of people don't understand. I am greedy for the things of God. Like if I get around it and I see it, I want it. Like when I saw Eddie get up and do this today, I'm going to take that home with me. I'm going to get him to pray for me because I want that. You know what I'm saying? And that's a good thing. You know, when Paul says desire spiritual gifts, that's the same word as lust. Like lust for, desire, get greedy for. When you see somebody move in the Spirit and you're like, oh, I would love to do that, go after it. Any man of God I ever got around, if I had a chance before I could get around him, I would ask him, put your hands on me. Give me something. I don't care what it is. I just want something. An impartation. Why? Because I've seen it. Paul said this, Romans 1:11, for I long to see that I may impart to you some spiritual gift that you might be established. It's all about impartation. I saw this in my own experience when I was traveling with Pastor Benny. Have you guys ever heard of a guy named Claudio Frazian? Claudio Frazian is a powerful man in Buenos Aires, Argentina. So here's the story. I'm working with Pastor Benny. We're traveling. We're in Atlanta, Georgia, on a crusade. And back then, I was much younger than I am now. But we traveled 250 days a year, so I knew you had to exercise to kind of keep your energy going. So I tried to get a little time in the gym on a little treadmill before we'd get in these big crusades for, you know, which is without being on a treadmill all by itself, like a marathon. I don't know if you've ever been to a Benny meeting, but you got to pack a lunch and go to the bathroom before you go in. You know what I'm talking about? Because you're going to be there a while. And so I'm sitting here on this treadmill, and this guy comes in. He's running beside me. He speaks hardly any English, and of course, I speak hardly any Spanish. But somehow, he was communicated to me that he's a pastor, and he somehow chose this hotel randomly from a list that he's from Argentina, and he's here to see Benny Hinn. And I'm like, well, I work with Benny Hinn. And if you would like, I'll take you to the meeting with me tonight. So we said yes. So this total stranger, Claudio Frazian, in a hotel in Atlanta, goes with me to the meeting. We get there. It's packed. There's not a seat in the auditorium. So I sneak him on the platform in a back row trying to hide him from Benny because I was responsible for who all set up there. And he wasn't on the list, but I kind of tucked him in the back, kind of like hit him just so he'd have a seat. Wait, so Benny comes out, starts ministering, and you know how this works. After about 10 minutes, turns around and goes, Mr. Maddox, who is this guy? And I'm like, oh. You know, I don't want to tell him it's a stranger. It's a stranger I met at the hotel, right? So I said, he's a pastor from Argentina. Bring him here. Benny takes his jacket, throws it on him. Bam. He goes under the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, let me pause. One reason I wrote this book is because one of the main reasons is not just to teach and impart what I learned, but to honor Benny. Because Benny's taken a lot of flack. Now, I understand some of his own accord. I get it. He's human like we all are. But people have a problem like, well, why does he throw his jacket? I can tell you why he threw it. He threw it one time and it worked. It's as simple as it gets. At one point, he felt an unction to throw his jacket on somebody and it worked. So he just kept throwing his jacket on people. The bottom line is not the jacket being thrown, is did they get touched by the Holy Spirit or not? So it's just that simple, right? And so I try to correct some things, you know, these mindsets about Benny. But long story short, never spoke a word to him. Threw his jacket on him. I never see him again till the next month. He comes back with 12 other pastors from Argentina. Benny throws his jacket all out again. Next month, they come back with 20 pastors from Argentina. A month later, they're in Argentina, filled a stadium of 100,000 people, and all 100,000 were getting slayed by the Holy Spirit in Argentina because of an impartation. Come on, somebody. He went from pastoring a church of 400 people to filling stadiums of 100,000 because he got an impartation. Powerful, isn't it? So my point is, it's not, you know, you'll get information, but you're not just here for information today. You're here for impartation today. That the Holy Spirit can impart something you need, something I need in this atmosphere together, our mutual faith. We're not me imparting to you, but our mutual faith working together will cause an impartation to come by the Holy Spirit. Are we still okay? All right, well, I'll move pretty quick. The Holy Spirit wants a personal relationship with you. He is a person. He's not an it. He is a person. And He wants a personal relationship with you. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit wants to be a daily companion. Before I stepped through these doors to your church, I said, Holy Spirit, I know He's already here. But I said, Holy Spirit, I don't want to go in there without you. I need you. Be with me. Help me. Help me follow you. Help me hear the will of God. And it's what He's here for, right? But we think he's only involved in big, important spiritual matters. But He's involved in every detail of your life. But most people don't believe that. Most people don't believe we're holy enough to have Him. Honestly. But in actuality, you'll never be holy without Him. Because He's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that makes you holy. Because He leads you and guides you and directs you to do the right things. But He's so intimately involved. I remember Pastor Benny telling me, you know, he used to work at a kiosk in Canada at 14-year-old. When he got saved, when he met the Holy Spirit in Catherine Kuhlman's meeting, and he said, I'll never forget, Ken, I was walking home, and he said, Canada cold's not like United States cold. He said, Canada cold, like, it hurts. And he said, it was so cold, I forgot my ear coverings, and he said, literally, it felt like my ears were about to fall off the side of my head. It was that cold. And I said, Holy Spirit, could you please help me? He said, before God, I felt two hands come on my head. And he said it felt like hand warmers had been placed on each of my ears as I traversed and made my way back to my home from the kiosk. And he made it so available to Beverly and I that the Holy Spirit wants to help you raise your children, wants to help you pay your bills, wants to help you with your intimate relationship with your husband and wife, will give you details to help you if you'll just ask Him. We taught this in our church in Alabama, Oxford, Alabama, and this young man just started following the Lord, and I talked about how the Holy Spirit, because it says He knows everything. Is that not right? So He knows everything about everything. So this young man, you may call him naive, I call it childlike faith, was working on his land, and his tractor broke. He's not a mechanic. He lifts up the hood. He said, Holy Spirit, I heard this preacher said that you know everything about everything. So if that's true, you know how to fix this tractor. And he said, Kent, before God, all I didn't know, I did this, touched this wire, did this, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He said, the next thing you know, I sat in the seat, hit the switch, boom, she fired right up, and I was ready to go back to work again. Now see, most people don't believe that, but I'm telling you, this is how intimate Holy Spirit is and wants to be with us. If we will just believe that and ask Him, He'll tell you what to eat. He will. I promise you, He'll tell you what to eat. He'll tell you what to say. He'll tell you what not to say. I love a little, humor. Inappropriate humor. Yeah, I like a little inappropriate humor because the more inappropriate it is, the funnier it is to me. Right? But I can't tell you how many times I've been in the middle of about to say something inappropriate. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just, like you're like halfway through the joke, and you're headed toward the punchline, and the Holy Spirit goes, uh-uh. You know how foolish it is to just, in the middle of it, go, I mean, people think you had a seizure. They're like, what's wrong? I said, I can't finish it. What do you mean? You can't finish it. I just can't finish it. Sorry. Right? Because why? Because there's times where he said, don't finish it, and I did, and I felt the grief. You ever feel that? You're like, oh. That's what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit. Is you, he told you to do something, you didn't do it, and you feel this. And it's a sign. It's like your body telling you you're not okay. It's like him saying, uh-uh. And what's interesting is he didn't tell me not to ever say it. It was just for that moment. And that's how you get religious. Now, I'm going to pause there a minute because I felt that religion. I know y'all don't think you got any, but it's everywhere, religion is. See, this is how religion gets birth. It's when the Holy Spirit stops you in a moment and you think it's a doctrine. It's a moment. In that moment, he understands more about the person you're talking to and everything else. That person may not be, you may have offended them unnecessarily. That's why he said, all things are lawful, but all things aren't expedient. And don't use your liberty to cause somebody to fall. So there's sometimes he'll quiet you down in a moment because of the situation, but it's not a doctrine. It's not a religion. A lot of religious thing. It's a spiritual thing. And he wants to have an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. Could you dream with me for 30 seconds what it would look like if every child of God started walking intimately with the Holy Spirit? How many church problems would be fixed? How many relational issues would be resolved? How much conflict could be overridden? I believe that's the way the early church lived. One of the greatest treats of my life was with Pastor Benny and I were in Germany, Hernot, Germany, at a nunnery. Is that where the nuns live? A convent where the nuns live. And they were so spirit-filled, these nuns. I don't understand the theology behind it. I'm just telling you what I experienced. They were so spirit-filled, they had fruit trees in their garden in Germany that bore fruit all 12 months, every season. Prayingest people I've ever met in my life, women praying. Trip free. Nation walking the show to all 12 months, there's fruit. Different fruits. Staggering. And they said the way we know that there's unresolved conflict between us is the fruit will start rotting. And it's the Holy Spirit sign something is unresolved between somebody. So they said, we'll get together and pray. And sure enough, somebody's got their feelings hurt. Something happened. Something transpired. As soon as we make it right, rotten goes away and the fruit comes back alive again. What a spiritual picture for our lives and the fruit that God wants us to bear. Amen? Five, quickly. The Holy Spirit is activated through worship. This is so important if you want to follow the Holy Spirit. These moments, corporately and privately, the Holy Spirit through worship. Benny used to teach us so powerfully in John 7. It says, on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anybody thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes on me, as the Scripture said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. But he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would believe. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Benny said, anytime you want the Holy Spirit to move, start glorifying Jesus. Anytime you want to see the Holy Spirit move, start glorifying Jesus. It activates Holy Spirit in a very powerful way. And I've always wondered, and my friend Don Potter, I think y'all know Don Potter. Beverly and I were just with Don Potter a couple months ago. And Don Potter so answered a question for me because I always wondered, well, the Holy Spirit's already here, right? So why does worship, if the Lord's already here, if Holy Spirit's already here, why does worship bring him if he's already here? I thought it was a great question. And Don, without me knowing I ever had that question, said this and it answered my question. He said, worship doesn't bring the presence of God. Worship focuses you from your distractions so you can see that he's already there. Worship doesn't bring him. Worship quietens you and focuses you so you can actually know that he's already there. This is what is it, Jacob. God was here and I didn't even know it. So people who come to our church services and they don't engage in worship, that doesn't mean God's not here. It's just they're unaware of it because they're distracted by so many other things other than entering into worship. Once you enter to a place of worship, everything begins to align and boom, now you're ready and open to receive from the Holy Spirit. But it's not just corporately. It's privately. One of the greatest experiences I ever had, Beverly and I were visiting a friend of mine. We were staying at his home, and Bev went out with the kids for some reason, and my friend left for some reason, and I'm just there in this house all by myself. We're on vacation, and I'm sitting in this nice recliner. He's got one of these big screen TVs, and I thought, oh, you know, because you know how we guys love to take that remote and start surfing. So I thought, here we go, and I grabbed that remote, and I started watching. The Holy Spirit said, why don't you worship? I put that remote down. I'm not a great singer, but in that recliner, I just lifted my hands and I just started singing a couple of the old songs I know, you know. His name is Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. He's my master, Savior, Jesus, he's like a fragrance after the rain. He's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. And the presence of God filled that recliner. And then I sang another one. And then I sang another one. And every time I'd sing one, it'd get thicker. And I was marked by this moment. After about the fourth song, I just sat there and all like God would visit me by myself in a worship service. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, would you please sing me one more? You think about getting crushed that he would be so blessed by that. Then I thought, Lord, that's what I want to do. Host you with worship. As y'all do so well here, inviting the power of the Holy Spirit. Six, quickly, the Holy Spirit leads us into submission. To touch my shadow, I locked it up to that point. But this is Ephesians 5, right? Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God the Father, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Being led by the Holy Spirit doesn't make you a lone ranger. It doesn't make you out here just shooting your gifts off. It brings a holy submission to leadership, who God has put in leadership over your life, and to one another. And this is one of the most powerful things, I believe, that the Holy Spirit does. He brings proper order. So many moves of God, so many churches start going after the Holy Spirit and get out of order. Right, I love the way this house just runs in such Holy Spirit order. Benny taught me, here's how the Holy Spirit moves. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 12, power. 1 Corinthians 13, love. 1 Corinthians 14, order. The Holy Spirit always moves with power, through love, in order. And so when we begin to understand this, the Holy Spirit brings submission and causes us to submit to the will of God, but also to those in spiritual authority over our lives. And I learned this firsthand with Pastor Benny. when the Lord spoke to Mary and I, submit your life to Him. And after that point, here's what a lot of people don't understand, is after that point and during that season in my life, God made it very clear to me. People would say, Kent, what is God telling you? I said, nothing. They said, why? I said, He told me to submit to Benny. So what is God not talking to you? No, I do what Benny says. I know that just freaks people out, but it's true. This is the power of submission. Now, I understand the abuse of that, and I'm not talking about living in an abusive situation, but I'm talking about proper order and submission to the Holy Spirit. The ministry we enjoy today is because of a submission of a 10-year period that God told us to submit to His life and His ministry. If people understood the power of submission, and it's not a bad thing, it's a safety thing. Submission is a place of safety, being under spiritual authority. Man, the demons I fight now, Beverly and I fight now, that I didn't realize Benny was fighting then, and I was up under him, and he was fighting all the demons, and I was enjoying all the benefits, and he was taking all the attacks. Now that we're taking a lot of the attacks, and people under us are joining the benefits, makes me want to run back to Benny. But it's this power of submission and to see the fruits of it. And it was tested. My submission was tested. I'll never forget. After about a decade, just as this thing was beginning to take a new season, you just get to this place. I'll never forget I was in Israel, of all places, which is important right now, isn't it? But I was in Israel, and we didn't have cell phones back then. And so I was calling people long distance, and that's expensive, to complain about my current situation, all the work I was having to do, all I was going through, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, all the woes that I was suffering, you know, working so hard, living with Benny, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'll never forget in Israel, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, after I'd got all my complaining done, the Spirit of God filled my room. And the fear of the Lord fell in my room, and I had to jump out of bed and hit my knees. And the voice of God said, do not be overthrown in the wilderness. And I went back, read it. It says they were overthrown because of murmuring and complaining. And I realized submission. I had been offered at that point to leave Benny's ministry and go pastor my own church. They had a 1,000-member church. Gave you a house, a car, all the benefits, salary, etc., just to go take a church that was already going. And I thought, well, I'm called to preach. This must be God. Right? And the Holy Spirit said, did Benny tell you to do that? So I had to say no to that. And these aren't easy decisions to make when you feel like you're called to do something and you stay in spiritual order and spiritual submission. But as we live that out, we look back and to see the benefits now of all, we would have been totally out of the will of God. We've been totally doing something we weren't supposed to do if it hadn't been for honoring God and staying in spiritual submission, being moved by an unction of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage you today, plant yourself. Plant yourself. Those that are planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of their God. The Holy Spirit doesn't cause people to church hop. He'll plant you. And He will plant you in a solid place so that He can mature you and can perfect you. First thing the Lord showed me, He said, you never become perfect by serving perfection. You become perfect by serving imperfection. And when I send you to serve a man of God, I'll show you his weaknesses. Because everybody's got one. Touch your neighbor, say, he's talking about you now. Everybody's got a weakness. He says, so when I send you to serve, I'll show you the weakness. Why? You're not there for their strengths. You're there for their weaknesses. And you cover and serve their weaknesses with your strength. And as you do, I will honor you. and strengthen you. And God gave me the vision, that picture of the Bible was Noah's son, right? One of them uncovered Noah's nakedness, and the other one backed up with his coat and covered and was blessed. There's a power, and I don't have time to delve into the depths of this, but it's worth a deeper study on the power of submission. And I understand there was a big error in the movement years ago that got out of whack, but I promise you, Holy Spirit submission is where we want to live. And Holy Spirit submission, it needs to work in children to parents, husbands and wives, spiritual authority. We've got to get this right, because without it, we have no honor. And where honor is, glory is. So God's doing something in that, and that's probably enough said on that. All right. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, number 7, and we're getting close to being done, number 7. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is generosity. I don't know anybody that truly follows Holy Spirit that aren't the most generous people I've ever been around. I've never met a stingy Holy Spirit person. I have not, never. I have never met a Holy Spirit person that's led by the Spirit that's stingy. Everyone I've met that's Holy Spirit led is very, very generous. Because Psalm 51 says the Holy Spirit is a generous spirit. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. The very first thing that God ever spoke to Beverly and I about was about money. We're sitting in a worship service. I was Pentecostal, grew up Pentecostal. I mean, just by name, I wasn't like a, you know, real believer. But I was a black sheep Pentecostal. But Beverly was Baptist, and so I knew about the Holy Ghost, wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Bev didn't, you know, she wouldn't talk about that, and she's like, you know, we're saved and we're good. And so we're in a worship service, and Bev's just worshiping, praise worship, and she just starts speaking in tongues. I hit her like, how'd you get that? She's like, I don't know, it just came out. And I'm like, I don't know, it just came out. Like, I'm begging for this stuff, and, you know. And it just pops out of her. Like, I'm not eating devil food, cake. I'm not eating deviled eggs. I'm smashing the J things in her house. I mean, I'm doing everything I can to try to speak in tongues. And Bev's like, it just came out, right? But anyway, she got filled. And fortunately, 6 months later, after I got out of my religious mindset, I got filled. But then we were sitting in church service. And, you know, we probably at the time had $250 to our name. And we're sitting there, and Pastor B starts talking about the offering. And the Holy Spirit said to me, write a check for $100, which would have been half of what I had. And I was like, you know, my first thought was, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, right? Devil trying to steal my money. But I was aware enough to know the presence of God, and I said, I'm going to get Bev to confirm it, and she's going to say no. I said, Bev, felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. She says, I know he said for you to write a check for $100, didn't he? We did. And that began a journey for us. We were, because of my drug abuse and my lifestyle, we were in debt to the IRS for owed them $25,000 in back taxes. So once I got saved, I called the IRS and turned myself in. Now, you know you're really born again if you do that. You know what I'm talking about? That's the fruit of repentance right there, to call the IRS, right? It's like calling the devil's headquarters. You know, like I called them. Sure enough, pulled my name up. They said, not a problem. Thank you for calling us. Just write a check made out to IRS, P.O. Box, whatever, Atlanta, Georgia, for $25,000, whatever. I said, well, there's a little problem. It says, I don't have any money. They said, that's not a problem. What's your address? I gave it to them. They said, we'll see you Wednesday. So my first thought was, Lord, I know you didn't save me to send me to prison. But then my dreaded thought was, oh, God, you saved me to send me to prison to preach to the prisoners. So I'm tormented, right, for 2 or 3 days about how this thing's going to go down. They get to my higher house. They came and saw us and basically said, you know, you got to pay us. And so we're going to take everything that you make beyond your living expenses, whatever they are, we had to write them all down. Everything else you make comes to us until it's paid off, with penalties and interest. All right. We start that journey. Interesting enough, Bev and I said, but we tithe. Is that an expense? They said, yes, it is. So they allowed us to tithe as part of the expense before they took the rest of it. So we gave everything we had, you know, what minimal bills, we tithe, and then it was zero left. They took everything else. It was the wildest time in our life. There were literally days that I would leave home to travel with Benny around the world and leave Bev with $50 for 2 weeks to feed our kids, buy gas, and do everything she needed to do. And there were times we didn't have anything to eat. Literally. Benny couldn't pay me any more money because if they did, the IRS would take it all. So we would just stay, we tithed and everything, but we just stayed broke. There were times where we had to make a decision, do we write a tithe check or do we buy groceries? And without fail, before God, every time we wrote that tithe check, somehow somebody knocked at our door, give us a phone call, and they would bloat us up with groceries that were more. It's like when I had no money of my own, I was eating steak and shrimp and chicken. And when I had my own money, I was eating hot dogs and bologna and peanut butter. You know what I mean? And this went on for a while, right? And Bev just caught it quickly. I mean, Bev was like so generous. I came home one time from a trip, and she had given away our furniture. Like, there was nothing in the room, just carpet. I was like, doll, where's the furniture? She said, I met this missionary couple that just came back off the mission field. They didn't have any furniture. I said, no, we don't have any furniture. She said, God will provide. I was like, you know, and outside I was grinning inside. I was like, God will provide. Yeah, we're going to be sitting on the carpet. Next day before God, I walk into the office to do some work, and there's a furniture calendar on my desk. I opened it up with a note in it that said, God said you needed furniture, and there was a check for $2,000 in there to buy furniture. You can't make this stuff up. Long story short, we kept doing this after a few years, and this guy came to me, he said, I hear you got this problem. I said, dude, because taking everything we had made over all that time, with penalties and interest, it grew from $25,000 to $100,000 debt. It just kept compounding. You couldn't catch it. There was no way out. There was no way out. And so this guy said, I need to go to work for you. I believe I can help you fix this. I've talked to everybody. I know you can't. I'm too young. I've got too many years to earn. I'm sunk. There's no way out. This is my life. So I don't know. He wrote a letter to the IRS. I get a call from the IRS. A few days later, I was a bit shaky now with them. You know, I wasn't as transparent as I once was. You know, I'd been saved, now I'm sanctified. I got a little wisdom. And but they started a conversation. Long story short, they settled our debt for $100,000, for $8,000 by the favor and the grace of God. A guy walked up, handed me a check for $10,000, and we were out of debt overnight. I gave this testimony at Benny's church. This is years, 30 years ago. I gave this testimony at Benny's church. A guy in the church thought, this is too good to be true, called his brother, who's the head of the IRS of the state of Florida, gave him my name to say, is this true? The guy said, actually, I'm the one that handled the case. He said, how did that happen? He said, I don't know. Force compelled me to make it happen for him. Can we just give God a little bit of praise for that? But it's this power of generosity that if you'll step into it, not only will God do that, we'll be a blessing to so many people in and around us. I can't tell you the thrill. I have a little bit of money now. And I can't tell you the thrill it is to give it away. My God, it's just $100 for some people. You throw $100 sometime at somebody that's working at a drive-thru. You're talking about making their day. I mean, it'll light them up. I call it the Benjamin Franklin anointing. I mean, yeah, it'll light people up, and it releases things, right? This act of kindness, of generosity, it moves things in the spirit. Your giving is a weapon. Every time you give, it breaks a curse, either off you or off them. And that's what being led by the Holy Spirit looks like. And last but not least, the most important part about the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And it's been the most amazing journey of how the Word of God, how the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and make it come alive. Speak to you in ways that give you wisdom beyond your capacity to know things. I'll never forget, I'm driving Benny to the airport one day. And I don't know if you've ever sat under his Bible teaching, but he was one of the most phenomenal Bible teachers. One, he's from Israel, so he knows the culture. So he reads the Bible differently than we do. So, for example, we're at the upper room one time visiting Israel, and I was always staggering. It says, the guy that's carrying the water, follow him. Right? I'm thinking, well, how did you know which guy? I mean, I would need some more details, right? Tall guy, short guy, fat guy, skinny guy. I mean, you know, how do you know which guy? Benny said, oh, that's easy. I said, why? He said, men didn't carry water. It was against the culture. Only women and children would carry water. You would never see a man carrying water in Israel. He said, so if you saw a man carrying water, it would be the most unusual thing you had ever seen. That's why you follow that guy. So my point is, he would just have these amazing truths. And Beverly and I would sit there, our mouths just like, oh my. He taught in John Kilpatrick's church on the deity of Christ. Blew our minds again this past weekend. And anyway, I'm trying to be, and the Holy Spirit just gave me a hunger, right? Like, I want to know the Word of God. And I'll never forget, I was driving Benny. I said, Benny, how do you know the Word of God so well? He said, Ken, it's just time. He said, just read it. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Ask Him, invite Him in. He'll show you. He'll teach you. And over time, he said, Ken, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. He said, years from now, somebody's going to be driving you to the airport, and they're going to say, Kent, how do you know the Word of God so well? And I'm thinking, yeah, like that's ever going to happen, right? Sure enough, 20 years later, after following the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit teach me the Word of God, a young man in our recovery program was driving me to the airport, and he looked at me, and he said, Kent, how do you know the Word of God so well? And I just burst out in tears, cried like a girl. It took me back to that moment where Benny said, it's just time in the Holy Spirit. And He will teach you and He will lead you and He will guide you into all truth. And you will know the Word of God and it will be the thing you live your life by. And you live your life alone. Look, the Holy Spirit doesn't make you strange. If you were strange, you were strange before you got the Holy Spirit. He will base you a solid life in the Word of God. That's undeniable of the strength and the power of it. And the Holy Spirit will absolutely explode these supernatural things in your life. But the biggest illustration that I want to make to you before we step off is you already know Him. Because the Bible says He's with you and shall be in you. I'm going to slip in here just for a minute, Pastor, if that's okay, for this one illustration. Forgive me from the online audience. But I think this is an important part. If I can just show you what I see as the Holy Spirit, right? And why it's so important to realize that you already know Him, right? Is there anybody in here that was a sinner? No, I'm talking like a good one. Not just part-time, but I mean like you were really a top-notch. This guy back here, you, were you like a real good sinner, like strong? Okay, come on. I need a good, strong sinner. Not part-time, you were really after it, right? Bad lifestyle and not good at all. You're perfect. All right? This is important, all right? Just stay here with me, all right? So here's our sinner. In all due respect, huh? Oh, yeah, you're good. All right, Pastor Eddie, you've got to be Jesus. right? There's nobody better than that. And so here we are. Tell me your name.
Dan.
Dan the sinner. Dan's out, and where you were lost, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so just go be lost. So here's Dan. He's lost, right? He's just off, away from God, lost, out in sin, right? How do you think he winds up with Jesus? How do you think that happens? Because Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. And he says, Holy Spirit, what I'm going to need you to do is I'm going to need you to go get Dan for me. This is before you ever knew Jesus. That's why he says he was with you. He was with you before you ever met Jesus because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to get you. And so now, Dan, you're not lost. You're still lost, Dan. Yeah, thank you. So here's Dan. He's just lost as a goose. He's out here going all kind of places, all situations, but here's the Holy Spirit. So next thing you know, the Holy Spirit starts tracking Dan. And Dan starts running from God. You know the feeling, right? Now what happens is the Holy Spirit starts saying, Dan, you need Jesus. He doesn't know who it is, but he's like, Dan, you need Jesus. Dan, you need Jesus. Dan, you need Jesus. Dan, you need Jesus. Now can you imagine everywhere Dan took the Holy Spirit? Can you think about the places you and I took the Holy Spirit? Let me go ahead and tell you, he's not afraid of sin. He's not afraid of darkness. He's not afraid of addiction. He's not afraid of sexual perversion. He's not afraid of anything that you can think about. Why? Because he's the Spirit of grace. And where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. He'll go to any... If you make your bed in hell, he will find you there. David said, where can I go from your Spirit? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, make my bed in hell, you're there. If I go to the uttermost parts of the earth, even there your Spirit will find me. I don't know about you, but it thrills me that the Holy Spirit will track you down and find you for Jesus. Come on, somebody. And so here the Holy Spirit is. Next thing you know, he tracks Dan down. Somehow circumstances lead. He thinks it's circumstances. Next thing you know, Dan winds up at Grace House. Somebody brought him here. And the next thing you know, Holy Spirit's brought him. And the next thing you know, here's old Dan right here with Jesus. Come on, somebody. Right? You know him because he was with you. The same Spirit that we're talking about today is the reason you're here with Jesus today. But now he doesn't leave you just because you met Jesus. Now the same Spirit that's with you actually comes to live inside of you or awakens your spirit inside of you to who you actually are. And not only that, the other experience in Acts 1:8, he will come upon you. So not only is he with you, not only is he in you, but now upon you. You are totally immersed. The best picture I have is you get filled is take a picture and fill the glass with water. Immerse, you take the glass with water and set it down in the picture. And that's being immersed with the Holy Spirit. My point I want to make to you today, if he went to this much trouble to get you to Jesus, don't you think he'll go to the same trouble to lead you and guide you that you keep following Jesus all the way to the future? Thank you, Dan. So here's what I asked the Holy Spirit about this meeting today, because obviously I would dare to think that most of you are already moving with the Holy Spirit or you wouldn't be at church on Saturday morning. I doubt there's any big-time sinners here today. You know what I'm talking about? But I know this is what's happened to me. And I asked the Holy Spirit about this before coming here. Because I know the Holy Spirit... Well, let me just give you one quick case in point, because this is important. And that is, I'm preaching in London at a place called Kensington Temple, and a guy named Derek Prince is sitting on the front row. You talking about scared to death. I am absolutely scared to death preaching. He was 84 years old. And I preached as good as I could, you know, with him being there. after the service, we go back in the green room, and he was so kind to me. He said, Ken, I just want to encourage you. He said, your message was full of the scripture, great, powerful stories to go along with it, and you made a great point, something like that. It just encouraged me. I was like, "That's thank you. That's cool." And whether true or not, I don't know, but it was just encouraging. This guy walks in and said, would you pray for my back? Derek said, yes. Derek said to me, Kent, watch this. I said, yes, sir. He set him down on a chair. He said, everybody's back can be healed this way. Pulled his legs up. One leg was shorter than the other, about like this. Grew his leg out right in front of my eyes, and the guy was miraculously healed. He looked at me. He said, this is the way you heal the sick, heal backs. I said, I want that. He said, pray, and he prayed for me. Now, why for 14 years I never did that? You tell me. For 14 years, I never prayed for anybody like that. I don't know why. Neglect, ignorance, fear. 14 years later, I'm in Nevada preaching. A lady comes in on a walker while I'm preaching. And the Holy Spirit said, do the Derek thing. I'm like, the Derek thing, yes. So I stopped and tell the lady, I said, hey, and I told him what I just told you. I said, I'm not sure it's going to work. But what do we have to lose? You're on a walker. So either you leave on a walker or the Derek thing works. But we'll try it. So boom, set her down, sure enough. Leg jumped up, ran around the church, miraculously healed, walked out carrying her walker. From that day, hundreds of people we've seen healed in that manner. It's very, very, very powerfully operates in it. But what's my point? You can have a gift that's laying dormant. So I asked the Holy Spirit this week. I said, Holy Spirit, I named several things that I sense should be operating in my life. I still have some dormant gifts in my life that I'm not functioning in, that are in me. There's a gift in me to heal Alzheimer's that I've not manifested yet, but I know it's in me. I'm sitting in a meeting, a guy's preaching, and I felt the Spirit of God come on me. I said, what is that? Holy Spirit said, it's anointing for Alzheimer's. I said, all right. Next day, we're at Thunder on the Mountain. Do you remember that in 2005? We did this Thunder on the Mountain. Some of you were there. I'm sitting there. Bobby Connors was in the meeting. This lady came up here to him from Atlanta and said, I need you to pray for me. He said, why? She said, I've been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He said, I can't pray for you. She said, why? He said, the Holy Spirit told me to go get Kent. He's the one that's got the anointing for that. If you need an affirmation. But I've not fully seen that manifest in me yet. Is it fear? Is it neglect? I don't know. I don't know the total answer on it. But the bottom line is this. I asked the Lord this week, Lord, do we forfeit these things? So if we've got something in us and we don't use it, do we forfeit it and lose it? I asked the Lord, though, because I needed to know, right? And whatever it is in you, whatever gift God's given you, whatever gifts that you don't even know or recognize yet that are in you, I said, God, do we lose this stuff? And the Lord said to me, I never take away gifts that I give. He said, but they can be lying dormant. And they have to be stirred. This is Timothy, right? Stir up the gift of God that is in you, that I gave you by the laying on of my hands, right? Because God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but power and love and semi. I felt like God told me this meeting today, he was going to stir up dormant things that he has given you already that are on the inside of you. They're not something you need to get. They're actually already on the inside of you. There's all the gifts of the Spirit, for sure. There's gifts of manifestation inside of you. There's all the gifts that we read about in the Scripture. They're all in this room today. We don't have to get them to come. They're actually here. We just got to get broken out of a mindset of using them and let the Holy Spirit stir these and activate these gifts on the inside of us. And so with your permission, that's the prayer I want to pray today, is that Holy Spirit would stir up, activate those dormant things that are on the inside of us and awaken them for this new season for us to step into as He wants to begin to manifest the sons and daughters of God on the earth. And not just manifest them in this room, but manifest them throughout this territory. Wherever people are going, these gifts, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, working of miracles, deliverance, the discernment, gifts of discernment, tongues, interpretation, etc. All these things Holy Spirit wants to stir up and move inside of us today. More and more I keep talking, I just want to touch your hand. What's your name?
Sherry.
And all arthritis. The Lord says all that arthritis is leaving your body. Did you know that, right? Can I pray for you real quick? Just your name's Sherry. I kept trying to keep talking, and the Holy Spirit said, I need to get that arthritis off of her. My God. That thing just broke off her. Do y'all have grandchildren? You have 9 grandchildren.
Should have had 10.
But there's something significant. There's one of your grandchildren that has a specific call of God on their life. And God's about to manifest that in a supernatural way. But it's not by accident that you have 9 grandchildren, 9 gifts of the Spirit. That number 9. But the God is something that's going to happen in your wife today that's going to affect one of your grandchildren. And it's going to be very powerful. So, Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you for that arthritis is gone in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. We thank you for that now in the name of Jesus.
And you could have known because she's been having trouble with it. She's screen printed for 30 years, and she's had difficulty with it here, but it's going to be gone now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. She has spent years not only screen printing, but she has spent years in the Word of God.
Oh, yeah.
She loves the Word of God.
Oh, she does.
I know this by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that seed of the Word of God has come up into her for this season. You're going to run and not grow weary, and you are going to walk and not faint. For those who have waited on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. Whew. Come here, doll. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. That's the power of God all over you. Thank you, Lord. Did you bump your head a little bit when you fell there? You all right? Oh, I'm just checking on you. Something broke off, didn't it? Whew. Isn't that great? What a precious woman. Isn't that good? Don't you love how the Holy Ghost just kicks up and does stuff for us? Wow. Thank you. Really?
Because she said this morning, I've got a lot of stuff to do at home. I'm behind on work. We've been building a deck. I got a tractor to work on, a truck to work on. And I told her, I said, well, you can go. So last night we're sitting there, and I said, I don't know if I'm going or not. She said, well, you better go. And I said, okay, I'll go. And because she said, I've been in his church before, and I heard him before, and you probably need to go and hear what he's got to say. So this is what happened. So I had to be here to watch it.
We had to come to Oxford. We made trips to Oxford after that. I don't know. I can't even tell you how many times I was in your church. I've seen things happen there that haven't seen anywhere else. And I know the Holy Spirit is working in and through you. I know He is.
Bless your heart. And anybody who wants to go help this man finish his truck and his deck and everything, feel like he needs some help. Bless you guys. All right. I want to pray for you. Is that okay? If you want me to, I just want to lay my hands on you and stir up whatever there's in you. So I'll put my hand on everybody in here. If you want to, it won't take long. If you just want to come up here, I just want to touch you and ask God to stir it up. And it's that simple. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this house that is so open and so ready for all that you're wanting to do. Lord, I just see an explosion of Holy Spirit in every aspect of our lives. And So, Lord, we just say we believe you sent us here on an apostolic mission to stir up. Pardon? Oh, I thought you talked to me. Sorry. To stir up any and everything that might lay in you that's dormant. I see books. I see songs. I see business ideas. I see concepts. Not just what we know is limited to the nine gifts of the Spirit, but I see entrepreneurial concepts, these type things. I see babies. I see some that's been believing for somebody in your family to have children. There's a lot of things that are the Holy Spirit is ready to unlock today. And so, Father, we just thank you right now for the spirit of impartation and on this meeting with us today. Holy Spirit, we thank you now for just unlocking any dormant gift. We admit we all get caught up in fear and distraction and neglect and everything else. So we just say, Lord, we're humbled that you would never take anything back, that you give it freely and you give it to us to manifest. But Lord, I'm calling for a season of manifestation. That thing that's been hidden, now let it manifest. Those gifts that have been hidden, now let them come forth and let them manifest in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. And so, Father, we thank you for that and we praise you for it even now in Jesus' name. All right, if we can just maybe play just a little bit of music, and we just want to pray for you really quick.